This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I miss Roger Goodell. Where has he been? He's busy navigating a 2020 season in which there have been almost zero positive COVID tests. It is really impressive. I'm telling you, the fact that the NFL isn't even talking about COVID, it's not even a story, and that's phenomenal. Now, does it keep the fans from filling the stands? Yes, and it likely will in most places for the rest of the season. And it probably will change what the postseason and the Super Bowl look like. I can't imagine they're going to have a full house in Tampa for the Super Bowl. But the fact that week after week, there's been no outbreak, there have been no postponements, there's not even talk about the effect the virus has on the NFL season is a credit to this league and to the fact that not only did they plan exhaustively, they looked around at what all the other sports are doing and the athletes and the coaches, even those who sometimes let their masks slip, they're all taking it seriously. It's really impressive. Just as impressive, Major League Baseball finished up its 60-game regular season. Sunday was the last day of baseball's truncated season. And now we go into what I consider to be a bloated postseason. It's really done so that they can get more teams involved, again, as a nod to the shortened regular season, but also so that they can get more of the postseason TV revenue. 8 games on Wednesday. That's insane. I might lose my brain. My life might lose my mind. Forget lose sleep. That's really off the table. We won't see this type of a playoff bracket moving forward. Rob Manfred has already indicated that there won't be 16 teams. Even if they do expand the playoffs in 21, it won't look like this. But for now, that's what we've got. And even before they get into the bubble for the division series on through the World Series, baseball deserves credit. After their hiccups at the start, the mini outbreaks with the Marlins and the Cardinals, even the Indians pitchers being dopes, they figured it out. And there are a lot of teams, in fact, most of the teams that played a full 60 games. I'm impressed because there was a time when it looked like baseball was on extremely thin ice. And so baseball is moving into its postseason and will soon be knocking on the door of the Fall Classic. Meanwhile, the Stanley Cup could be awarded. It could be awarded in Edmonton on Monday. So Tampa Bay Lightning still have a 3-2 lead. The Dallas Stars actually went into, well, they forced double overtime and won in double OT. Sudden death, man. Lord Stanley's Cup was in the house and Dallas said, not today. And so that could happen on Monday. Unfortunately for hockey, though, they're going up against the Ravens and the Chiefs in Monday Night Football. So that's brutal. But that's the hand you've been dealt by playing your championships in September and October. And then, of course, the NBA Finals. We are down to 2 in the NBA. And for the first time in history, neither team reaching the NBA Finals was in the postseason the year before. So the Lakers hadn't been to the playoffs since the 12-13 season. The Miami Heat missed it last year, haven't been to the finals since 14. And so it's never happened before. And I don't know that you can definitively say that it's about that this virus manipulated season. But I did say before the playoffs started in the NBA, it was a crapshoot. it was wide open, anything could happen. Yes, you have the top seed in the West moving on to the finals, but you have the 5 seed in the East. And so congratulations to Frank Vogel, the Los Angeles Lakers, Eric Spoelstra, the Miami Heat. We'll talk a little hoops as we head closer to Wednesday, which is, of course, the start of the NBA Finals. And so there's a lot going on this week. I'm not sure what more they could cram in, but it's time to talk a little bit about the Chicago Bears and their quarterback dilemma. I feel like we've done this before. Ha! It's a little bit of deja vu with more evidence. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I have answered the question. I want you to answer the question. Who is the most impressive 3-0 NFL team to this point? You can go with the eye test. That's fine. Or you could be a little more analytical about it. You know me. I'm a little more analytical. In fact, I overanalyze too much, actually. I'm going to go with a team in the NFC North. Other than that, you're going to have to check it out on my show Twitter. After Hours CBS or on my Twitter, A Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. We talked about the Packers winning in New Orleans. How about the Chicago Bears? You remember it took Matt Nagy every last second before they kicked off to decide who would be his starting QB. And he went with Mitch Trubisky. But we all could see the writing on the wall in the Bears' very first half of the 2020 season. They're in a big hole. They appear to be on their way to a loss. And before that game is even over, in fact, before they got to the fourth quarter, what's happening? People are calling for Nick Foles. In fact, I tweeted something along the lines of, who's first to get into the game? Is it Foles? Is it Alex Smith? Because at the time, Dwayne Haskins was also struggling in the 2020 debut. Or then I mentioned, could we possibly be seeing Tua? No Tua, not anytime soon. But after I tweeted that, the Bears were facing the Lions in that season opener. Mitch Trubisky comes back with 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They pull this win out of their rears. That's a compliment. They beat the Lions. And, of course, they stay with Mitch Trubisky. Well, then against the New York Giants, it was almost the complete opposite. Or I guess you could look at it as the Bears offense picking up right where they left off. You may not remember this, but against the Giants in week 2, they had all 17 points in the first half. Didn't score in the second half. So then along comes this road trip to Atlanta. And the Falcons build a nice lead. In fact, a 16-point lead. Chicago's trailing Atlanta 26-10 in the third quarter when Trubisky throws an interception. And on comes Nick Foles. Now, funny enough, Nick Foles on his very first drive also gets picked off. This is a 50-50 ball, though. And Allen Robinson initially looks like he has the TD, but he doesn't make sure that it doesn't get wrestled away from him. And so he falls into the end zone, but as he's falling, Darqueze Dennard wrestles the ball away from him. So that 50-50 ball goes down as an interception. I wonder for a brief second if Matt Nagy was going to flip back to Mitch Trubisky then. So Atlanta goes up 26-10. This is the Falcons side of things. From that point on, after being up by 16 points, 3 punts, an interception, and a missed field goal. That was the rest of the day on offense. You want to know why this keeps happening to the Falcons? Because they keep leaving the door wide open. Teams do not come back from 3 scores down unless you keep giving them the ball back and making it easy for them. Falcons fans, I know you're familiar. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So then the Bears have this hole to dig out of, but the defense is doing its job. 3 straight scoring drives in the fourth quarter is how Nick Foles seizes this opportunity.
Third down and goal. It's like pulling teeth to score a touchdown. Third down, 26-10 Falcons. We're in the fourth. Foles in the gun. Patterson in motion. Snap, Foles looks right. Throws right. Touchdown. Jimmy Graham on Denard. His second touchdown today. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Trio left. One to the right. Takes the snap. Giving a look left. Blitz pickup by Montgomery. Throws left side. Comeback. Robinson the catch. Breaks a tackle. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Bears. Allen Robinson goes the distance. Slot to the left. Three receivers. Tight end left side as well. Here's the snap. Good rush. They throw as he's hit into the end zone. Touchdown. Middle of the end zone. A beautiful thrown ball to Anthony Miller. And the Bears have the lead.
That last ball was beautifully thrown by Nick Foles, leading him back across the field in the end zone. It's worth noting that all three of those touchdown drives were on short fields because the defense was snuffing out anything the Falcons tried to do. So Anthony Miller, with that touchdown catch inside of 2 minutes, put Chicago ahead. And then the defense picks off Matt Ryan on his last opportunity. The calls with Jeff Joniak on the Bears radio network. Nick Foles, 16 of 29, 188 yards. So not a ton of yardage. Three touchdowns and has that one interception on his first drive. So now Matt Nagy has a decision to make. And honestly, he doesn't seem to know what he wants to do yet. You know you have a veteran in Nick Foles. You know you have a guy who has command of the offense. He has familiarity with the offense. The coaching staff knows him. They brought him in to push Mitch, but they also want to win. The Bears feel like they have a team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that shouldn't be going 4-12. And now that they've started out 3-0, you kind of recognize the potential. And you want to make sure you're making the decisions that are best putting your team in position to win. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Foles was asked about the conversation with Coach Nagy before he entered the game.
It was just something where, you know, on the sidelines, Coach Nagy just said, hey, you're in. Just get warm. And it was as simple as that.
It was as simple as that. Of course, it wasn't quite that simple and nonchalant on social media, because social media blew up when Foles put his helmet on. True to his style, true to his character, Foles remains really supportive of Mitch Trubisky. And certainly Foles has been in this situation before where he has had to sit and watch and wait for an opportunity. And remember what happened in Jacksonville. He signs the contract. He throws a touchdown pass in his first quarter of his first start. And then he gets sacked hard to the ground and has a broken collarbone. But then when he comes back, it's brutal, and he loses his job to Gardner Minshew. So Nick Foles certainly could empathize with what Trubisky is going through.
I know throughout my life, anytime I've had trials and everything, it's equipped me to be a better person and a better player. Not saying that you wish on anyone, but we'll be there, and I'm excited to go to work. I don't know what the situation is or whatever, but I was really grateful for how he handled it today. He's a team guy, and he showed that leadership today.
Chicago Bears are 3-0, tied atop the NFC North with the Green Bay Packers. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Falcons are 0-3, second loss at home. And under Dan Quinn, I don't know how much longer Dan Quinn is allowed to run this team. I know that Arthur Blank has been supportive and is a patient guy, but this is the fifth loss for the Falcons when leading by at least 16 points since the start of 2016. Now, that includes playoffs, of course, because that includes the Super Bowl when they were up 28-3. Five losses when they've been ahead by at least 16 points going back the last not even five full seasons, four plus. No other team has more than two losses like that over that same span. This is on Dan Quinn, a lot of it. Now, is he out there throwing the picks? Is he out there not pouncing on the ball when it's spinning around after an onside kick? No. But the defense is his baby, or it's supposed to be. How many times have they tried to rebuild the defense and put the right pieces in place? And that defense is prone to giving up leads. Now, you can't completely ask your Falcons defense to shut down the opposing offense. Not for an entire game anyway. It's not fair. It needs to be a balance. The Falcons offense needs to do its job. But a lot of times the Falcons offense will hand them these big leads and then there's a collapse. As I mentioned, the Falcons can't sustain drives. The defense then gets worn out. The defense gives up huge plays. There are defensive breakdowns. And it snowballs. And it's a disaster. And I don't care what Matt Ryan says about how the team is close. They don't look close to me.
We're close. I mean, as disappointing and as frustrating as it is, we're not getting blown out week in and week out. And so we've got to find a way to tighten it up for sure.
Back-to-back losses went up 15 points in the fourth quarter, 15 or more. And so I can give you all the evidence. And Dan Quinn says he's going to meet with Arthur Blank, same as he does every week. And he can take blame for the loss. But something has got to change. This is demoralizing, not just for the fans. I know we look at it through the lens of the fans. This is demoralizing for your locker room.
It falls on me in all spaces. I want to make sure we're clear on that. But we're all in this together. And so when there's a game, there's things to do differently offensively, defensively, on team. So we are all connected on it together.
Great. Be optimistic. Be hopeful. But something's got to give. And it was the defense in the second half last year that saved his job. I don't know if Arthur Blank gives him the rest of the year. But you can imagine how dejected that locker room is. So the Falcons fall to 0-3. And 0-3 is not buried, dead, and gone. But the way they've lost and how often this happens, it's a pattern. A very current pattern, not in the past. And so for each of these teams, major questions inside the locker room. For the Atlanta Falcons, it's gut check time again. For the Chicago Bears, which quarterback do you believe gives you the best shot to win? You already knew the jury was out on Trubisky, or you would have picked up the fifth-year option on his rookie contract. You wouldn't bring in Nick Foles, who has a reputation for doing exactly what he did on Sunday. And now you're 3-0. You've already got a couple of really smart wins under your belt. 3-0 is nothing to sneeze at, especially when the playoffs are expanded this year in a really stacked NFC. You put yourself in a great spot. Which 3-0 team is the most impressive to this point? On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Holy cow, you guys are neither working nor sleeping. I hope you're not posting when you're driving because our social media has gone, which is good. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You know who else had a couple of gut check moments on Sunday? The Buffalo Bills. You guys have been clamoring for Josh Allen to be in our Monday MVP poll. He's there, so take it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Prater's ready. Muehlbach to snap. There it is. Fox the spot. Kick away. It is
yes,
up.
Sir.
And it is good. And the Lions have won it.
Yes, sir.
The Lions have gone to the desert and picked up victory number one. Matt Prater sends it through from 39 yards out. And the Lions can dance in the middle of the field. This one is over.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
While we were talking about the NFC North, I feel like it's only appropriate to laud the Lions, kings of the jungle, for their first win of the season. Congratulations to Matt Patricia, and congratulations to Matt Prater, who ends up with a pair of field goals on the last two Detroit drives. And the game winner there with no time left on the clock, that's Dan Miller on the Lions radio network. So the Detroit Lions snap an 11-game losing skid. 11. And if I'm not mistaken, the Panthers had lost 10 in a row, and they also won on Sunday. So congratulations to Matt Rhule, his first victory as an NFL head coach. But the Cardinals were undefeated until they ran into the Lions. Kyler Murray, three interceptions that turned into points. Even if you are Kyler Murray, those turnovers tend to bite you in the rear. And so we saw the best of him, but we also saw the worst. And Andy Isabella, too. Great touchdown grab. And so the Detroit Lions, the Carolina Panthers get off the schneid. They both get wins. You probably thought the Eagles or the Bengals would be picking up a win. Not so fast. We'll get to you, Carson Wentz. Oh, man alive. Do people want to see Jalen Hurts as the starter in Philadelphia after the way that Wentz started out again? So we'll get to Eagles, we'll get to Bengals, we'll get to some of the other storylines around the NFL, but I'd love to hear from you, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by Geico. Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Again, 855-212-4CBS. I promised you Josh Allen. I promised you Buffalo Bills. And I promised you the drama. Oh, we got plenty of that. So Josh Allen and the Bills were marching up and down the field. I mean, they were looking like a team that was bound and determined not to lose again. In fact, to stay on top of the AFC East. And so they build this 28-3 lead. Like I said, really impressive. They're hosting the Rams, and people are pointing out the issues for Jared Goff, and how could this happen? This was also a 2-0 team. It's just crazy in the NFL how quickly this stuff can change. So again, a 28-3 lead. And then the Rams come out of the halftime locker room and go on a tear. And we should know that they're capable of this. In fact, funny enough, they actually come up with an empty possession to start the second half. They turn the ball over on downs. But then they go touchdown, 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 touchdown. I kid you not. Four in a row. And so it's a little bit of a gut check for the Buffalo Bills, right? And they had some mistakes in there as well. A Josh Allen interception leads to a scoring drive, and then a Josh Allen sack and fumble. Aaron Donald in the mix also leads to the touchdown. In fact, the one that puts the Rams in front, 32-28. And so Josh Allen, yes, deserved to be praised for his brash, bold play. He is athletic, obviously. He can chuck the ball, but he's also got the size to be able to run dudes over if he needs to. And so it's good to see him get better and better. And obviously, the longer that Sean McDermott, Josh Allen work together, the better they're going to be. They'll end up speaking the same language, finishing each other's sentences. That's kind of what happens, right? Except this was one of those scares. And for the Buffalo Bills, they lose the lead, and then they get the ball back inside of 5 minutes to go until this game is over. This is where I feel like winners are developed, right? So the Bills, while they've made the playoffs two of the last 3 years, they're still building that culture, the Sean McDermott culture. They want to be able to get farther than they've been before. They'd like to be able to snap the Patriots' supremacy atop the AFC East. So they've got goals. And this is one of those games where your feet are to the fire. Maybe you took your feet off the gas, haha. But you still have an opportunity in the late stages to be able to come back and finish what you started.
Josh waiting. Now the snap. Josh going to throw it. Looks, fires into the end zone. He's got Tyler Kroft open. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Touchdown, Bills! A four-yard toss. Josh Allen to Tyler Kroft for the touchdown.
That's John Murphy on the Bills radio network. An 11-play, 75-yard drive. The timing was perfect. It took nearly all of what was left on the clock and milked it down to 15 seconds. Now, there were a couple penalties in there, And I know people were ticked off about the defensive pass interference call on the fourth down just before that. But these tend to even out in the wash. There were also people complaining about the Rams taking the lead and the fact that there was a flag that helped them do that. So the referees did not decide this game. What decided this game is that the Buffalo Bills settled down and they were able to, in those last 4.5 minutes, get back to what had built them the lead in the first place.
Touchdown!
Touchdown, Buffalo!
Probably just got too relaxed, and that's on me. I got to be the leader, you know, especially for the offense. I can't let us kind of dip there in the third and fourth quarter. I got to make sure we're on our P's and Q's, and we're moving the ball and, you know, keeping our defense off the field because that offense is, they're pretty good.
Josh Allen finishes with 5 total touchdowns, one of them on the ground. He does have the interception and the fumble, and he was under pressure a bit too, as you can imagine, that Rams defense. So there were 4 sacks in there, but still, over 300 yards passing, 5 total touchdowns, and in the end, you take the win. A win is a win is a win is a win. As for the Los Angeles Rams, I heard the stat on the way into work, which is kind of funny. Another one of those obscure stats that I wouldn't even know to look at. The first time that Sean McVay's Rams have lost a game that kicked off at 1 o'clock Eastern. No, that can't be right. It was something along those lines. Something just, I don't know, completely obscure. Either way, the Rams lose their first game of the year, but there's a bright side to it as well if you think about the fact that they came all the way back to take the lead.
Disappointing end to a very resilient effort by our guys. I love this football team. We're not going to make any excuses. We're going to use this as an opportunity to move forward. Congratulations to the Bills.
Congratulations to the 3-0 Bills. Is Buffalo the most impressive 3-0 team? The reason that I did not pick Buffalo is this. They played the Jets and the Dolphins. The Jets came to Buffalo for the season opener. And it's pretty obvious the Jets are bottom of the barrel, if not the absolute worst team in the NFL. Pretty close. Did you, by the way, Jets fan, producer Dave, happen to see, not that, I mean, my team's no better. The Broncos are also 0-3. And with Peyton Manning on hand, just got raked by Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. So we're both in the same boat. But did you happen to see the Dan Orlovsky tweet? So he, of course, was a member of the 0-16 Lions. Was that 2008? The 0-16 Lions. He said, my 0-16 Lions would beat these Jets 16 times. Do you have a response to that?
I believe him, and I agree with him, because this is one of the worst football teams I've ever seen in my life. And I've watched a lot of Jets football, a lot of bad football for the majority of it, unfortunately. But this, I mean, offensively speaking, there's no talent. There's no skill set. How can you compete with this roster? I don't know, and I will continue to pick the team that is playing the Jets every week to advance in the Survivor Pool.
Are you still alive in the Survivor Pool?
Picking the teams playing the Jets. That's the way to do it.
All right, so my point is that's the reason that I did not pick the Bills as the most impressive 3-0 team, because 2 of their victories have come inside the AFC East, and while I do think the division is better, I still say that kind of. Now, for the Packers, they've won against 2 teams in their division, but they also went into New Orleans and beat the Saints, whereas the Bills had the Rams in Western New York. So we're splitting hairs here, but that's the reason I went with the Packers. As for Sam Darnold, 168 yards on Sunday, 3 interceptions, 2 of them go for pick sixes by Indianapolis. And so, yeah, it's going to be a tough road to hoe for the New York Jets. Although it's really difficult to go 0-16. There's a reason why only 2 teams have ever done it. So we're not going to label the Jets in that category just yet. But according to a lot of, and we'll talk more about the Jets, but according to a lot of people who follow the Jets, I saw this. Adam Gase looks more dejected and distressed and just down in the dumps than anyone's ever seen him. So if that's his, if that's his attitude, if that's what he's projecting, the team is going to follow. Like it or not, they've got to have some type of energy. They've got to have some type of hope in that locker room, or it's going to get worse. Yeah, Dan Orlovsky. My 0-16 Lions could beat these Jets 16 times. Ouch. Who's the most impressive 3-0 team? I know we'll have another one on Monday night, but for now, find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can also vote for Monday MVP. Yes, Josh Allen is part of it. Our Facebook page, too. We're going to get to your calls now. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
First and goal inside the two. Watson under center with David Johnson in the backfield. Deshaun takes the snap. Hand off Johnson. Walks into the right side. Touchdown, David Johnson.
Minute 22 left of the quarter. Bend back. First down. And he hits a wide open man at the 20, the 15, the 10. And walking to the end zone is Juju Smith-Schuster for the Pittsburgh Steelers go-ahead touchdown.
Watson in the gun with David Johnson to his right. Cobb slot left. Here's the snap. Deshaun throwing left side of the end zone. Wants Fuller. Has him. Touchdown, Houston. And the Texans retake the lead.
Connor, 67 yards on 14 carries. Steelers second and six at the 12. Ben feeds Connor, gets a block on the flank inside the 10, inside the 5. Touchdown, James Connor from 12 yards out.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
It was a scintillating back and forth for quite a while between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Houston Texans, who have yet to win a game. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh is on top of the AFC North, waiting the results of Monday Night Football in Baltimore. And so we will see the Chiefs and the Ravens Monday Night Football. You can imagine the type of interest with the two reigning MVPs, or the last two MVPs, the reigning and then the Super Bowl MVP. It makes sense that way. Both of them in the same stadium, and I wish there could be fans there, but I say that every week. When push comes to shove, I'm just glad they're playing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mark Vandermeer is the play-by-play voice of the Houston Texans. Bill Hillgrove on the Steelers radio network. So Houston's up 14-3 in this. When they come out of this, out of the gate hot, and Deshaun Watson initially has a couple of touchdowns, they're still ahead at halftime. They get a David Johnson rushing touchdown in there as well. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, what happened to the Steelers' defense? I actually benched Deshaun Watson on my fantasy team for that reason, because I was concerned about the Steelers' defense, and they've been so smash mouth. Well, the second half was all about the Steelers' defense. In fact, they hold the Texans scoreless in the second half. Here are the results of the Texans' four drives after halftime. Punt, punt, pick, punt. Meanwhile, James Conner and the Steelers' run game looks like it's running downhill. I always go so much faster when I'm running downhill as well. Conner with 149 total yards and a touchdown makes Ben's job a heck of a lot easier. And this is the final line on the Pittsburgh defense. Only 29 yards rushing allowed. That's with Deshaun Watson, with David Johnson. Only 29 rushing yards allowed. Five sacks. Another dozen quarterback hits of Watson. I'm telling you, per the usual, I'm worried about him making it through the season in one piece. It's just unfair, Bill O'Brien. And an interception. Again, 29 yards rushing allowed by the Steelers. That's it. Five sacks, a dozen QB hits, and an interception. And the way that Steelers defense played in the second half was really impressive. So what was the difference, Mike Tomlin?
We mixed some things up with our coverages, and we rushed a little bit differently. He was finding escape lanes, not necessarily in an effort to run, but in an effort to buy time and break some of our zone coverages down and find open spaces. And so we made minor technical adjustments to both the rush and the coverage, and I think that was the difference.
Can I share this with you? This blows me away. I saw this, I think, when I was reading about this game after the fact. In the final 30 minutes of play, now again, you can look at the Pittsburgh line and look at the fact that they held the Texans scoreless in the second half and know it was bad for the Texans offense. But in the final 30 minutes of play, okay, so second half, two 15-minute quarters, the Texans managed two first downs and 51 yards. That's it. And I'm not saying their offense was incredible in the first half, but it's like somebody flipped a switch. So Mike Tomlin can talk about the adjustments they made, and great, yay. But come on, Texans, what is happening? Oh, wait, you traded away DeAndre Hopkins. Well, that explains part of it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You remember, it was the Ravens last week, and they've had a difficult schedule to start. I'll give that to the Texans. And 0-3 is not the hole they can't climb out of. But was it just like 5 years ago? Maybe not even 5 years ago. They started out 0-3 and still made the playoffs. So they've done it before. I'm not suggesting it's a good idea, but they're giving up a lot of run yardage, and that's got to be where the defense makes a change, and for anything to change at all.
We're just giving up runs around the edge. Like, it's, I mean, it was easy, and we can't do that. I mean, we cannot do that. So we got to watch film. We got to figure it out, but we cannot, I mean, you're not going to win football games doing what we do in the fourth quarter these last 2 weeks.
JJ Watt in the same stadium with his brothers, actually. So Derek and TJ both play for Pittsburgh. First NFL game to feature all three of the Watt brothers at the same time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Looking at the AFC North, mentioned the Steelers at 3-0. The Ravens could join them on Monday night if they can beat the Super Bowl champions. And then, for the first time in 6 years, this is exciting. For the first time in 6 years, the Cleveland Browns have a winning record. Now, around the country, you may be scoffing, you may be poking fun. What did I just say about the Buffalo Bills? You got to build a culture. You got to start somewhere. For the Bills, the type of game they had today where they gave up a 25-point lead but still were able to rally and win it in the end, that's a building block. It's facing adversity. It's knowing you made the mistakes. You screwed it up. Now you got to get it back. Well, with the Cleveland Browns, these types of games, these are the ones that help you build a winning program. And so congratulations to the Cleveland Browns. You take that winning record whenever and however you can get it.
Beckham wide right, Landry to the left. First and 10, the Browns inside the 20. Mayfield under center. Calls, signals, turns, gives. Chubb runs. He's at the 15. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's still going. Chubb dives. Touchdown, Nick Chubb! Chubb the lone back in the backfield. They move the tight end, Bryant, in motion from the left to the right. Mayfield under center, gives the ball. Chubb's coming out to the left. He's getting led by Wyatt Teller. He's at the 15, 10, 5, corner. Touchdown, Nick Chubb! He's done it again!
Cleveland trailed 20-17 against Washington before three scoring drives to wrap up the game. Nick Chubb, over 100 yards, a couple of touchdowns you hear there with the Browns radio network, and then also Baker Mayfield with a couple of touchdowns as he doesn't have a lot of yardage, but a win is a win is a win is a win.
Doing whatever it takes to win the game. Obviously, taking care of the ball, you have percentages show way better chance to win the game. But especially when our defense is playing like that, we have a great punter protecting that ball, taking check downs, playing the field position game, and playing that battle.
The Cleveland defense deserves a lot of credit, too. So it was the run game, and it was the defense. Three sacks of Dwayne Haskins, three interceptions off Haskins, and a couple of fumbles produced as well by the Browns defense. Richard is listening in Myrtle Beach. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy. Two things. Watching the Washington game day, it's the first time I'd seen a female official on the field, which I thought was pretty cool. I didn't know that.
You've never seen Sarah Thomas before?
No, ma'am, I haven't. Not until today, and I was impressed. I like that.
Yeah, she's awesome. In fact, I interviewed her going back to the Houston Super Bowl. So she's been around for several years now and is very well respected. She said actually she has no issue with players or coaches. It's the fans who give her crap, but she will give it right back. I mean, she is awesome. So, yeah, Sarah Thomas is great.
My question to you is this. Haskins is not the quarterback of the future for Washington. Washington really didn't get blown out. I'm just wondering if they will ever put Alex Smith in, because he'd been cleared both by Washington's physicians and his to play again. I thought they would put him in today to see what he still has. Or I'm wondering if they're afraid if they put him in again, if he's really going
to
get.
They wouldn't have him on the roster if they were afraid to use him. No football team can afford to keep a roster spot open just out of the goodness of its heart. That not in today's NFL, and not when you're trying to build a new program, a new culture there. So I would say with Ron Rivera, likely he's not willing to give up on Dwayne Haskins just yet. It's his first opportunity to work with this rookie. I'm sorry, not rookie, second year guy, but it's his first chance to work with Dwayne. Remember, they didn't have an offseason. They didn't have any preseason. So it's a new system for Haskins. So there's got to be a little bit of a rope here. There's got to be a little bit of a leeway, because it's not fair to Haskins. And I don't think Ron Rivera can evaluate him that quickly either. So probably, you know, you're going to see him out there for a little bit longer. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Alex Smith. In fact, I will cheer. I will stand up and cheer if Alex Smith gets to enter the game. But I don't even know if it's Smith. It might be Kyle Allen, who was with Ron Rivera with the Panthers last year, and they brought him to D.C. for this express purpose. So I know it's tough, and it looks brutal, but Ron Rivera and that team have got to have time. This is an ultimate rebuilding project. Richard, thanks so much for your phone call. I appreciate you listening in Myrtle Beach. By the way, in that game, Washington lost its top draft pick, Chase Young, to a groin injury, and he had started out playing really well. Looked like he was perfectly suited for the NFL, but obviously a lot of injuries. Maybe the lack of preseason games, maybe the lack of snaps in pads over the course of August and into September, definitely taking their toll around the NFL. But Washington loses to Cleveland.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.